Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together, and we will sing from Psalter 64. Psalter 64, it is a rendition of Psalm 25, and we will sing the verses 1, 2, and 3 as also in the bulletin.
Thank you.
We gather here in this afternoon hour in God's presence to remember and to give thanks for the life of Mr. Hubert Vandenberg. Husband of Peternella Vandenberg, and they were married for 64 years. And family is here, the father of Ari, married with Marianne, of Cordy and Stacy, Janet and Theo, Paul, John, married to Susan, Henry, Dave, Elizabeth, married to Gerard, Tim, and Leonard. And then, of course, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. Mr. Hubert Vandenberg passed away on the 13th of September, last Sunday, at the age of 100 years old. And we come together today in grief, acknowledging our loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort. In sorrow, hope. In death, resurrection, by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast taken one of us. Thou hast taken a husband, Mr. Hubert Vandenberg, married to Peternella Vandenberg's parents. Lord, it was time, as I said and as we prayed already. It was thy time. And so it was his time to be gathered up into eternity. And this we remember today, and we bring it into thy presence also in mourning, as we know that the spirit of Mr. Hubert Vandenberg has already ascended to be in eternity. So today we say our farewell to his body, where it will become dust, to one day be risen again and to be again, even with his family, into eternity. Lord, we ask that thou would be with the family this time, with Nell Vandenberg. Lord, sustain her in her grief. With all the children in whom we have named, Lord, it is a difficult time. Support them in this time by the presence and the power of thy Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. Lord, we also thank thee for the life that thou hast given to Hubert Vandenberg, for his family, for his acquaintances, even for the church. Bless us now also, Lord, as we open thy word, that thou would be with us in this word, by this word, through this word, also with those who are listening from afar. We think of those who are in Holland or have to stay in Holland. Lord, speak to them as well and be with them in their grief. And that we so may be led by thy Holy Spirit to ultimately lay all these things at the foot of thy cross. That maybe for the first time or anew we may hear thy word speak to us and thy Spirit into our soul. So we ask thee that thou would open thy word for our hearts and our hearts for thy word in this time of mourning and remembrance. Therefore, take away all the hindrances. Lord, we ask it in the forgiveness also of all our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we meditate on a passage which is also indicated in your bulletin, Exodus 33:12-23, let us sing 188, 1, 3, and 4. And Henry, thank you for playing also for this service for your father. God bless.
Thank you.
The scripture passage for this hour you'll find in Exodus 33, as already announced, and you can also read along, as it is also printed in your bulletin for you today. So Exodus 33, and we will start at verse 12 until the end. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to you, to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. This may well be one of the most mysterious scenes that we can find in the scripture. Mysterious scenes and mysterious encounter between God and Moses. A mysterious scene and mysterious encounter for encouragement and for comfort. And so, a few minutes to draw your attention to, first, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, we may ask, and we should ask, why this question? Why this beseeching question of Moses to see the glory of God? And to understand why, we should first of all consider the context of this question, of this question to God from Moses. And what is the context? In chapter 34, we have seen, or if you have read it, and maybe you know the story, Moses had gone on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And there he was informed that the people at the bottom of the mountain had turned to idolatry. He was informed by God that this was happening. While he had gone up to God to receive the law and to receive the plan of the tabernacle. And so Moses is aware, he receives the two stones, and then Moses descends with the Ten Commandments, and we read in verse 19, chapter 32, And it came to pass, as soon as he came up nigh unto the camp, so he is coming down, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Now, let us just stand still for a moment by this passage, this context of the text that, which we'll be also considering later on. I say, if there was in the history of humanity one moment where maybe there would be a possibility from the human being, from man, to reach God by way of the law, it might have been this moment. That is, between him being on the mountain and him having come down. And this is important because they had already received the Ten Commandments. They were not ignorant of the Ten Commandments. They had received the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. God had directly spoken the Ten Commandments, the ten words to them. You can read that. And yes, they were afraid and they had asked already Moses to come up to God and go up to God before and instead of them. But they knew. So if there had been a moment in the history that maybe this would have been possible, it may have been this moment. But what happened? What happened? They transgressed. They missed the mark. They fell into idolatry at the bottom of the mountain. And this is the importance also of the gesture of Moses as he descends, as he hears them, as he sees them dancing. What does he do? He breaks and he throws the Ten Commandments on the ground. This is not and cannot be and will never be the way to God by way of the law. It is too late. It is broken. Finished. He's angry. And so the Lord is angry. But in his anger, there is also concern. And I'm talking about Moses here first. In spite of his anger, Moses intercedes for Israel several times, even putting his own life on the line. Maybe you can take the people and ban me out of your book. And then after pleading with the Lord, Moses receives the command to leave Sinai. And we read in verse 5, the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked or obstinate, proud, stubborn, sinful people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. This is the context. This is the story around the question, I beseech thee. Show me thy glory. And so what does Moses do? Coming closer to the text. He sets up a tent of meeting, and you can read that, outside of the camp to speak, as it were, to the Lord one more time. To plead upon the grace of the Lord one more time. To remain with them, amongst them, in spite of the situation. And he sets up the tent, and wonder of wonders, the Lord, we read, and the Lord did descend, and he spoke to Moses. No, they could not go up the mountain again. That road was closed. But what we see is that the Lord did descend, and he spoke to Moses in the tent, as from face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And Moses said to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? Verses 15 and 16. Moses pleads with God. He says, oh Lord, it is impossible to go from here without thy presence. What will the people say? And what will we do without thy grace and without thy presence? And as I was made aware also that this was your wedding text. Yeah, not. Verse 15. If thou dost not go up with us, not with me, carry us not up hence. Dear mother, I am also certain that looking back this long life with your dear husband, with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, that this must have been and has been the cry of your heart every time. If thou dost not come up and go up with me, where shall we go? Because life is what it is. It is impossible without God. And I'm also sure how many times has this not been tested. This text in your life, in the life of your husband, Hubert, in the life of your children. Not because God is not faithful, but we are not. Our children are not. The church is not. This is the church of the Old Testament. And so dying and death causes us to look back as well. Was our life so different? When we look back, there are many blessed and good times, no doubt. But also murmuring, strife, turning away from God, rebellion. And as parents, we must put the hand in our own bosom first. And I know you have experienced that too. Bone of my bone, flesh of our flesh. And if you look back, and when you look back as mother, as husband, perhaps Hubert, Mr. Vandenberg, was not always an easy husband or father. Or maybe he was. You may have had times of bitterness in your heart towards him. Or maybe not at all. You know that. Especially when you look back. It may still be the case. Or not at all. I do not know that. The Lord knows. I do know that the older you get yourself, the more you realize what it is to be a husband. A wife, if you are married. A father or mother. And looking back, you may be surprised how much you actually may take after your parents. More than you even wanted or thought you would be. Your father. Your mother. Yes, the good and the bad. But one thing is for certain. He was your husband. He was your father, so willed by God. And you are his wife, his children, so willed by God for respect, for honor, and for love. Your husband, father, I know, and I've experienced him a little bit during the years, was not a man of many words. But one thing was certain, every time I would come by or would hear about him, he was reading. He was a man of many letters, not many words, but many letters, who read, who studied, especially the scriptures, preachers, theologians. My dad, and it was verified by Janet over the phone, said that even in the last moments of his life, he was reading a book by Professor Wisse, Apologetique, a defense of the Christian faith, at his age, at 100 years of age. I know this book, and it's not easy reading. It's hard. It's philosophical, theological material. But this is what he enjoyed. This is what he was always swimming in. And read and ate up, even at his ripe old age. This was his preoccupation. And in that way, I am certain, he also thought always of you, his children. Where are they? How do they think about these things, which I'm reading about? And I'm certain that he prayed. That he prayed. And that he prayed. Oh, Lord. My children, that thou hast given me. I'm certain of it. Together with your mother, I've no doubt that he desired that you would know the same Lord. All of you, either now or in the future. And it must have been his prayer, maybe often in spite of the situation. This is the text. This is the prayer of Moses. In a rebellious situation, in a rebellious and adulterous, in an adulterous situation. And so it is often, if not always. Perhaps looking back, you may also recognize in yourself, and I'm speaking to the children, a thirst for knowledge, of understanding, of study. Maybe especially also for spiritual things, an inheritance from your father. I know, in fact, and I was a little bit with you, that this is, in fact, the case. I had some arguments with you, some heated arguments with some of you. Discussed, debated. And now he's departed. How? I heard with a calm smile on his face. No, I know also that he didn't smile much. But his last moment was a smile. It was like Abraham stretched out his legs. It is enough. And he gave up the ghost, the spirit. It was time. It was God's time. It was his time, therefore. Where is he now? We must leave that to the Lord. Maybe for some of you it may be clear. It may not be clear. Maybe there is hope in Jesus. That's not for me to say. That's not for me to proclaim or to pronounce. The Lord knows. And that brings us, dear congregation, back to the text as well. Because in spite of this adulterous and sinful situation, the Lord promises something. He says, I will go up with you. And let's turn therefore to verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Let me just stop there for a minute. The Lord said, I will be gracious, and I will pass all my grace, all my goodness, it says here, before thee, according to my sovereignty. He says, because I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy unto whom I will have mercy. He is sovereign in his graciousness, and he is gracious in his sovereignty. That's clear from the text. It is of God, and it will be unto God. And I'm sure, I know that your husband believes this too. And then we read further. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Let us stop there again. Gracious sovereignty and sovereign grace. But there is one more thing. That we, neither Moses, imagine Moses, a man of God, could not be in the presence of a naked God, Deus nudus. Because for if that he would be in the presence of the naked God, his holiness, his righteousness, would in a moment take his way, his life away. No one can see God in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his justice, and live. The world would have to fade away from his presence, including us, as sinners. No one can see me and live. So sovereign and holy must be understood, must be experienced. Also in this passage it is clear. But then it goes on. And the Lord said, behold. Now, when it's behold, you have to behold. Look, there is a place by me. In spite of my sovereignty, in spite of the holiness, yes, there is a place by me. And how? And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So, in his sovereignty, in his grace, he promises to be with them. Even though he is holy and righteous, they cannot be with him in his bare and naked presence, as it were. So he provides a way for his people to be with him. And what is this way? Yes, and that's why I began also this evening or this afternoon with, this is one of the most mysterious scenes or encounters between God and a human being. Between God here and Moses. How? And that's what points us also further. We cannot see God in his glory and in his holiness and live. So what way does he provide? I'm not going to look at all the details. We don't have time for that. Also today not. But he said, in summary, you can see my back parts. What is that? Let me turn to the New Testament. And we will finish with that. And therefore also this is a passage for comfort and for encouragement, as I started with. We read in the New Testament in John 1 verse 18, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Again, the reference is clear. No man has seen God at any time, neither Moses in his glory. He couldn't, even though he asked, I beseech thee, can I see thy glory? But the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So even in the Old Testament, and has become clear in the New Testament, how did God, and was God, finally amongst his people? In his Son, Jesus Christ. And how is he with his people in and through his Son, Jesus Christ? As if they are the back parts of God. Now that is a mysterious expression. What are the back parts of God? The back of God. I believe that it refers to another passage, and I will read it. That Jesus, when he was here upon earth, he had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. When God comes, and he can't come into his glory, and when he reveals himself, at the same time, he hides himself. And that's how he reveals himself. He hides himself, and so he reveals himself. How does he hide himself? Under the sign of the contrary. Let me now be very clear and go straight to the point. The back parts of God are nothing but the cross. Jesus, the man of sorrow and suffering. The back parts of God are nothing but the meeting between God and the people on the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a mystery. That's a mystery. That we cannot understand. And how is it so? And I'm sure this was also maybe experienced in your life, and I believe it was. That our way with God, or better said, God's way with us, is always under the sign of the contrary. That is, in persecution. Deep persecution, yet free. In the semblance and under the semblance of sin, grace. As if in a prison, continually in a prison in this world, yet free in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you have experienced this. But this is the hidden or the verborgen omgang met God. The hidden communication with God in everyday life. No, it's not spectacular. It's not rambunctious. It's not extraordinaire. No, it's under the cross, suffering. This is what you see in this passage. It's an impossible situation with the people of God. And what's the beauty of this? Is that God said, you stand on that rock. And you know, Moses, you can't save the people. I will. And I will stand in their place. And I will take their sins upon me in my Son, Jesus Christ. And so all my goodness shall pass before thee. That's how God goes through and with His people in this life. You have to understand it. You have to experience it. No, you have to. God will make it so if you are His child. You have sat at home probably many, many times. In sorrow, in grief, in doubt sometimes. The circumstance is overwhelming with a grand and big family. And yet, maybe precisely in these moments, the Lord was there. He was the Savior. He was the one who overcame and is overcoming all the time. And that's how He was with thee. If thou would not come up and go up with us, how should we go from hence? Has that not also been maybe your experience in the spirit and the experience of Father? Therefore, there's hope. Not from here to there. It's broken. There is no way from here to there. The law is broken. But there is a way from there to here. In God, in Jesus Christ. And so He was with His people. And remained with His people. And so I also wish that God will be and continue to be with you, Mother Vandenberg. Under the sign of contrary. The Lord isn't under. The people in the world, it's a mystery. Don't understand it. But it is so liberating. Let me finish with this image. The only meeting point of God with His people is His cross on this side of the grave. And yes, the cross on the outside is harsh. And it kills. That's our life here below. The form of our baptism says this life is nothing but a continual death. But precisely, under that banner of the cross, we can also experience what's within the cross. And that is His love. His eternal grace. And it's the only way. Not only once, but every day of our life. You think it's going bad. It's probably going good. You think it's going good. It's probably going bad. I don't know if you understand it. But that's how God retains His honor and shows His grace. And that's how He goes with these people. And that's how I'm sure He has gone with you until today. With your husband. In your family. And I hope and pray also that it will be reality for children and grandchildren. Because there's only one hope. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. A few words in Dutch at the end. We moeten nu gedag zeggen. Zijn geest is alreeds in de hemel, zo zegt de Bijbel het. Maar we zeggen gedag en vaarwel aan zijn lichaam. Laatste momenten hier met hem, als het ware. We hebben gesproken over de tekst van uw trouwen. Dat als God niet meegaat, laat ons niet gaan, laat ons niet samen gaan. En we hebben gezegd dat. Ik geloof dat u dat ook hebt mogen ervaren met uw man, met uw kinderen. Nee, het zal niet altijd makkelijk geweest zijn en dit is nooit makkelijk aan deze zijde van het graf. Het is altijd onder het teken van het kruis. Het is een geheimenis. Het is een verborgen omgang met God. Mensen zien het niet. Mensen denken eigenlijk het tegenovergestelde. Ach, dat is maar een simpel, of dat is niks. Maar wat is simpel en niks, en wat lijkt niks voor de mens, God heeft zijn oog op zulke. En daarom ook deze tekst, dat Hij met u mag gaan en wil gaan, de rest van deze tijd, van uw tijd, die u nog hebt op deze aarde. Ook met uw kinderen en uw kleinkinderen. Dat de genade van God zo in uw leven mag blijven tot aan het einde. En dat hopen en geloven. En dat ook de kinderen tot die erkenning mogen komen. van de leidende. Maar ook de leidende borg om een verborgen omgang met hem te hebben en te vinden. Elke dag maar weer. Om één dag in zijn tegenwoordigheid te mogen verschijnen. Dan is het van aangezicht tot aangezicht. Dan zullen we zien wie daar zijn. En wij zeggen niks over Hubert. Dat weet God. Maar u zult er zijn. En al uw kinderen, kleinkinderen, zullen er ook zijn. Dat God u zo mag zegenen en ook de familie. Dat God u daarbij mag zijn. In deze zin. In Christus Jezus. Door zijn Heilige en in zijn Heilige Geest. Therefore, at the end, and I'm sure Hubert would also believe this, the only one will be remain standing, and that is Jesus. And you with Jesus, if it may be so in his grace. God in Jesus Christ. A mysterious encounter. A mysterious scene. But one for encouragement. One for comfort. Also in this day. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, the way that thou goest with thy people is a way that's absolutely not understood by the world, but it is contrary to all expectations. Contrary to everything we can do or think of. It's only a matter of faith in thy Son Jesus Christ. And that doesn't even come from us, because thou art sovereign in thy grace, and thou art gracious in thy sovereignty. This is also what we have seen. So bless the family as we all will go from here to the last resting place of Mr. Vandenberg. Support them with thy presence in their midst, that they may for the first time or anew also encounter this Jesus through the cross, through death, life, in sorrow, happiness. It's not understood. It's not understandable, Lord. But work it in their hearts, because it's the only way of happiness, of eternal bliss. Bless us so the rest of this service, and also as we go to the cemetery. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing our last psalter, also as chosen by the family, for this worship service, Psalter 4:15, verses 4 and 6. go from here receiving also the benediction and the blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From this, we will go to the grave, the cemetery. It's the Springfield Cemetery. It's on this road. It's on your left, very close. And there we will continue the service and the bringing to his last resting place, Hubert Vandenberg.